This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 287 of The Next Step. This is a podcast that looks at the very fabric of our being from the most ancient of all Christian traditions, the Armenian Orthodox tradition, but polished up for today, polished, connected, whatever it is for today, and we call that polished look Armodoxy. Inviting you to kick back right now. Take a walk with us. Take a listen with us. Take the next step. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's do it. So glad to have you joining us today. It is a cold Thursday morning here in Southern California, heated up by a small little area heater. I'm here joined with the usual staff of characters, Ken, Susie, ready to put out this podcast for you. It has been a beautiful week since we last met last Thursday, Thanksgiving, and what a feeling of Thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to start off with a little bit of gossip, okay? How about this kind of gossip? Because when I got this, I thought, wow, you know, I've heard this before, you know, about priest stepping out. Priest stepping out. Are you ready for this one? Okay, how about a little bit of gossip? I remember in seminary, being a young seminarian, there'd always be this talk, like late at night, the priests would step out. Where'd they go? And I never figured out how this was done, because the wall around Etchmiadzin at the monastery, at least 15, 20 feet high. I mean, you'd have to get like a pole vault and kind of do it. But anyway, it made for good conversation, and I know like lots of people like to talk about these kind of things. Priests stepping out. So, let's do a little bit of gossip, okay? I'm going to read to you. Actually, this made some headlines this week. Surprise, surprise that it made headlines. In this respect, it is in the Huffington Post, of all places. It says, a recent interview with Archbishop Kurad Gurjevsky, the Almoner of His Holiness. Now, okay, before you start speculating about which holiness it is, there's only a handful of them. There's His Holiness Karakin II. Yeah. His Holiness, the Catholicos of all Armenians. But that's not who we're talking about. That is not Kurjevsky. And I apologize if I said his name wrong. I thought Armenian names were hard, but these are tough ones, okay? Krajewski. Anyway, it is not His Holiness Karakin II they are talking about in this story. It is, well, Dalai Lama. He's a holiness, too. Well, actually, His Holiness Pope Francis. That's who this person is the almoner of. He raised speculation. Are you ready for this? We're going to talk about priests stepping out of the monastery. He raised speculation that the Pope joins him on his nightly trips into Rome. The plot thickens. The Pope is going out of the confines. Into Rome at night when the lights are out. he goes to give alms to the poor. And it turns out that the rumors are probably true, it says. A knowledgeable source in Rome told the Huffington Post that Swiss guards confirmed that the Pope has ventured out at night dressed as a regular priest to meet with homeless men and women. Krajewski earlier said, "When I say to him, I'm going out into the city this evening, there's the constant risk that he will come with me." And he merely smiled and ducked the question when reporters asked him point blank whether the Pope accompanied him into the city. He's not the only Pope known for nocturnal wanderings. There are stories of Pope John the 13th sneaking out to enjoy the beauty of Rome in the evening, and reports tell of Pope Pius the 12th dressing as a Franciscan during World War II to help smuggle Rome's Jewish population to safety. More recently, Pope Benedict the 16th popped up unannounced to visit an art exhibit. When Pope Francis was cardinal, Jorge Bergoglio, he was known to sneak out at night to break bread with the homeless, sitting with them on the street and eating with them to show that they were loved. And the story says, and we love him for doing it now. Ah, beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? There's a couple pictures, too, that accompany this article. I'll put a link on today's show notes. I thought that was a really, really nice little story, and it just kind of brings everything home. It's actually the topic of what we're going to be discussing today about, well, what is it? How do you show love to people? How do you show love to people? How do you share that love with others? That's what we're going to be talking about. There's many, many ways. You know, we're coming up on Christmas. It's arguably, for many people, not for me, arguably, it is the feast of love, of sharing love. God shared his love with us by giving us Jesus Christ. God snuck out of the monastery of heaven. God took a leap at night over the fence and came down to be with us. Came to be with us and to share, well, to share in our humanity and let us know that we are loved. Oh, what a beautiful thing Pope Francis does. Goes outside of the walls, goes into Rome and helps to break bread. Breaks bread, not helps, actually breaks bread with the poor. Coming out of his comfort level. And interestingly enough, there's a small little picture of the Pope in this story. Check it out. He's dressed up, you know, with a black suit and the little collar like a priest. You saw him on the street. You say, "Hello, Father." That's what he is. Papa, he's Father. That's what our Heavenly Father is, isn't he? Our Father in heaven. And he comes out of his comfort level and he comes and he breaks bread with us to let us know that we are loved. So let me ask you, how do you show your love? How do people express their love today? Well, here's an interesting one. We were driving the other day, and I was listening to some tunes. Eric Burden song. Yeah, I know, that's kind of fossilized, right? From the 60s. Song comes up.
I'll buy you a Chevrolet, if you'll just give me some of your love, girl. Please give me some of your love now. Please give me some of your love, girl. All right.
Yeah, it kind of got to me. You know, I hadn't heard that for a while. This is Eric Burden, of course, from The Animals back then. This is some great tunes. And so we were listening, and I'm going, wow, yeah. I'll buy you a Chevrolet if... Well, there's a condition on me buying you Chevrolet, right? If you just give me some of your love. So anyway, the song continues. And he goes through a variety of cars in this song.
I'll buy you a Ford Mustang. If you'll just give me some of your love now. Please give me some of your love, girl.
Okay, like the Chevy didn't buy the love. Okay, well, I'll give you a Ford Mustang. Well, what's better than a Mustang?
I'll buy you Cadillac. If you just give me some of your love now, yeah. Give me some of your love, woman. All right. Yes, I will.
He Here's a variety of cars,
right?
From the Chevy to the Ford Mustang to a Cadillac. Yeah. But is that the way he's showing his love? Yes, because he's saying, if you show me your love, I'm going to give it. So these are the conditions on the love that I want. So, I mean, it's a give and take, right? I'm going to give you something that I value. Well, there's a value. Definitely, these material goods have material value. I mean, that's what they're all about, right? So you can put a price tag on it. You can say that a Chevy costs this much. You can say that a Mustang costs this much. And a Cadillac costs this much. Okay, so you got these different costs. So how much love can I get for that? That is a very basic analog approach to it, right? One for one. Now, I was listening to this song and I was kind of going, wow, that's pretty wild, because I remember this song in particular, but never made the connection. It was an Armenian song. Yes, and a performer. Now, this is a performer. His name is Ashot Arustamyan, a minstrel.
The minstrel in the gallery looked down upon the smile.
Now, these were strolling musicians. They would go around and they would play for kings and queens. They would play for families. They would play for events. Guess what? They were the priesthood of music. Yeah, they would be with people during sad times as well as happy times. They'd go through the life events, the minstrels. Yes, they were priests of the musical word, okay? Okay, now, Ashot Arustamyan had this cool-looking record. Okay, my dad had this record, and it was cool because it was see-through red. You know, when I say record, of course, I'm talking about the vinyls, okay? The big vinyl records, and it was a see-through red. So we play this, and we just, I think it wore out, I mean, from us playing it. But of course, I have preserved, call me Mr. Archives, I have preserved a copy, which I digitized immediately for today's show. Anyway, he has this song on there, which we kept playing because as kids, we found it really fascinating too, where he actually talks about the same thing that Eric Burdon talked about, but does it in Armenian. He says, I'll buy you. Well, he actually goes through three different varieties, just like Eric Burdon. And of course, this is the predecessor to Eric Burdon. So you've got to think maybe Eric Burdon learned from Ashot Arustamyan. Okay, so with that, are you ready? Now remember, the quality's not there, so you gotta listen very carefully, but listen to the words.
Do you call him Galis? Barev Chestalis. Es ankam yekelim, yes Cadillacov. Deyari nazmi ara, nazit yes kurban. Es ankam yekelim, yes Cadillacov. Deyari nazmi ani, nazit yes kurban. Ah, ciyari nazmi ani.
Yes, I've got a giant smile on my face. I love that. Okay, so he got, for our audience that did not understand, he goes through three different car types. He says, I'm coming to you with a, what he calls a Felis. I think it's a type of Jeep, if I remember right, correctly, or I'm not really sure. He says, I come with a Felis, and you don't acknowledge me. You don't say hello to me. He says, I came with a Buick. The second car in the line, okay? You don't say hello to me. But this time I came with a Cadillac. And now you're looking at me. Uh-huh. Okay, even the Armenian minstrels understood the importance of a Cadillac. Now listen, you will never hear this song anywhere else in the world. I want you to know that when you're tuned into the next step, you're getting some Armenian culture. You're getting like some Armenian artifacts being brought to you when I tell you, polished up for today, what Armadoxy is. This is what I'm talking about, okay? There's like 8 billion people in the world. Do you think anybody in the world is listening to this song right now? like you, the Cadillac song. I'm going to try to put the song itself on our show notes. We'll try to upload it and put a link. You got to listen to it. It's a beautiful, beautiful song from one of the masters of the Armenian minstrel genre, Ashot Arustamyan. So you got to listen to this stuff because it is it's classic stuff. But to our conversation, what is it? That there is a price to love. Love costs something. And you try to get that love, you try to buy that love, and you try to sell that love. And of course, we're talking about some very dramatic examples, right? I'll buy you a Ford Mustang, I'll buy you a Cadillac, I'll buy you a Buick, you know, if you just give me some of your love. And you say, well, yeah, that's funny, it's part of the song. No, but we do this all the time. I mean, you think about how love is measured today. You look about the destruction of materialism right now in the world. What is materialism doing? It is putting a condition, a price on everything, including love. Yeah, we laugh at it sometimes. Back in the, 50s, 60s, Marilyn Monroe movies. Remember those? How to Marry a Millionaire. You know, you look at the size of the rock. Oh, those were just imitating reality, right? How many people will look at a person and gauge who that person is by the material wealth that that man has accumulated? And so contrary to what we teach, that maybe the irrelevance of the church comes from this, that it has no comparison here in the material world. And so everything is gauged by the wealth that, well, everything is gauged by what you have in your pockets. I was at a funeral a couple weeks ago. It was a rather old person, and doing funerals at older people, for older people, you kind of, you get used to it. Obviously, they have less friends, less people have survived with them. And so, you know, it's usually sparse. Now, this one was packed with people and of different generations. Different generations. And I made to the point, especially to the grandchildren, that, you know, what you learn here in America, what you learn in capitalist countries, what you learn here in the West, let's go that far, what you learn in the world, okay, what's left, you know, what you learn in the world is that what's important in your pocket. How much do you have? How much wealth have you accumulated? Because that will decide to you, that will decide who you are in this world, where you sit, where you stand, who will look at you, who will acknowledge you. And yet, this person, this older man, did not have that kind of wealth. He had a wealth that was in his heart. And so at the end of his life, as he's standing there, or laying there in the casket, you see the product of his wealth, which was his love. And I made a point to the children that, you know, your grandfather was one of the wealthiest men in the world. Not because of what he had in his pocket, but look around you. Look at this wealth of people over there. And you like it or not, one day you're going to be in that same position. You're going to be lying down there. And really, your life comes down to that small little line, that small little dash between the year you were born and the year that you die. And what is that dash filled with? What have you filled it with? Yeah, there you go. You know, Eric Burden sings that. Ashot Arustamyan sings that. You've got the Buick, the Cadillac, the Mustang, okay? But what did you do with that? What did you do with that love that God has placed in your heart? And certainly as we approach the Christmas time, when you think about God wooing us with rocking horse fables and telling us that, you know, you are loved. For what reason? Except for us to become the people that we should be. Let's take a listen to the song of the day. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
You got. South Africa, you got
Carlos Santana playing Free All the People, South Africa. Yeah, we weren't going this way today when we started off this podcast, but there it is up on the screen. Nelson Mandela passes away, 95 years old. Just told you a few minutes ago, right? I mean, isn't this wild how this all comes together? Jeez, you know, here we are. And I was taking this in a completely, completely different direction. And actually, I shouldn't say that. No, we're going in the same direction. We're talking about how does love, you know, what is the, how do we express that love? And here you go, Nelson Mandela, 95 years old, and express that love with sacrifice. And just as I said a few minutes ago, that elderly gentleman that passed away, I mean, think about all the people that were touched. It's not a question of what you have in your pocket, it's what you have in your heart. Nelson Mandela, former South African president and anti-apartheid leader, reading the headlines over here, spent 27 years as a prisoner in South Africa for opposing apartheid, then emerged to become his country's first black president, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, and an enduring symbol of integrity, principle, and resilience. Yeah, he inspired a lot of people. He inspired most of the world, seriously. I mean, if you think about all the people that were touched by him, by his stories, I mean, some of the things, difficulties break some men, but make others, says Mandela. No axe is sharp enough to cut the soul of a sinner who keeps on trying. One armed with the hope that he will rise even in the end. Kept hope alive, didn't he? 27 years in a prison. And that's 27 years. many, many opportunities to call it quits, right? Many opportunities to just say, okay, who cares? Becoming hopeless, becoming negative, and yet he remains faithful to what he believes. You know, 95 years, you kind of expect at some point life is going to end, and you can't say that that death came unexpectedly, especially considering his situation during the last several years, definitely the last several months. But still, when it hits, it gives you an opportunity to really look on that life and see the worth of that life. He kept hope alive against the odds. And what is the worth of that life? How does he love people? Let's go back to our original premise. How does he show his love? Well, he shows it by sacrificing, and now how do we show our love back? By keeping that dream alive, by keeping those things that were important to him, to keeping Nelson Mandela not just a memory, but to keep him alive in the work that we do and the work that we offer, the sacrifices that we offer. And certainly there are many, many opportunities, very simply, just not to give up. It is so easy to give up these days on the things that discourage us, the things that really take us down, sometimes in spirals. They take us down, down, down. And it's very easy to give up. I mean, you tell me 27 years in a prison that he didn't think about giving up. He didn't doubt. All those things are there, sure. But to be able to rise, that's the real challenge. And it is the mark of a successful person. It always seems impossible until it's done. That's like one of his sayings. Think about it for a moment. I'll read you a few of these. It'll help me too. I mean, we'll get back to where I was. Let me read you some of these Mandela quotes. If I had my own time over, I would do the same again. So would any man who dares to call himself a man. Think about that for a moment. If you had a chance to do it over, would you? Do you have any regrets? Certainly you do. Certainly he did. Would you do the same thing? Well, if you believe in it, and that's what he says, anyone who calls himself a man, a person, a human, has to believe in something. And be committed to that belief and believe that those things are worthy of their time, of their sacrifice. One of my favorite ones that I always remember, he talks about education. Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. You know, you've heard it on Next Step many, many times. Like, why is the only option war? Why is the only option that we resort to violence? And certainly education. Think about it. The most powerful weapon when you can educate an individual so that he understands his surroundings. He understands to communicate, to articulate, to be able to go out there. And this education is not just, you know, let's go send somebody to school. It's a rounded education. It's a rounded education of not only facts, but the certainties of life. And certainly looking at a person like Nelson Mandela, you understand that his education even came from that prison sentence. It came from the people that he was with constantly. Let me read you a couple of these. A fundamental concern for others in our individual and community lives would go a long way in making the world the better place we so passionately dreamt of. And you think about that for a moment. Like, there's so many things going on in the world. Do you dream of a better life? Do you dream of better circumstances? Do you dream then believe that you can leave this earth a better place than when you came into it? Certainly Nelson Mandela did exactly that. Came and he touched the earth in a very, very special way with his life, with his sacrifice, and the freeing of a people. Nelson Mandela dies, age 95. A great loss for I think, all of humanity. He was somebody who struggled. He once said that the struggle is my life. He was a beloved hero, both in South Africa as well as the rest of the world. His face was instantly, you know it, right? The minute you see it, instantly recognizable in any country, definitely for me and for so many people. You see him, you know who he is. That's interesting, right? You look at him. Einstein's got one of those faces too, right? You look at him, you know exactly who he is. His story is so famous, and it was portrayed in the movies recently by Morgan Freeman, Sidney Poitier, one of my favorites, Danny Glover, and Dennis Haysbert. Dead at age 95. What can we say? God rest his soul.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave.
Oh, yeah.
And go home to my Lord and be free.
Put up a little picture up on my Facebook page just now. It's a picture I took in Armenia of some candles, the tradition of lighting candles in the Armenian church. Just kind of gave me a little bit of solace in thinking about Mandela. And I was looking at that picture. Isn't that just so beautiful in the church tradition, that rather than curse the darkness is to be able to light a candle and bring a little bit of life. Certainly people like Mandela, people, the great ones, are so, we're blessed that these people have touched our lives. I began the program by asking you a question. How do we share our love? How do we show our love? And certainly when you have cases like Mandela, you can say, okay, yes, he showed his love. But what do we have an obligation to return that love? Do we have an obligation to, okay, you buy me a Cadillac. What's the deal? You buy me a Cadillac if I'll just give you some of my love. Well, what is that love? And you can see that, you know, especially right now, this past year for me has been a very difficult year emotionally, in that we've tried to set up the Dative Outreach and dealing with many different personalities. And you realize that many of the issues that we have as human beings comes, they arrive to us because of a question of love in our heart. Do we understand that love? Is that love total? Is that love free? Is it freely given as well as freely received? And we go through all kinds of analysis to understand that love. And here's another chance for us to really look at the nature of love as being something complete, something total. When we say that God is love, what are we talking about? What does that mean? That he's a cushy guy and he's like, there's some kind of goodness in him and all of the romantic ideas of what love might be. And as I've shared with you, I keep going back to this point that within Armodoxy, we don't have this tradition of separating love into different components or classifications, such as the Greeks did when they talked about agape or filial or eros. You know, that there is erotic love, there is brotherly love, there is unconditional love. But I think the God love is complete, it's total. And it means that, yes, not only is it agape, it is also filial. In other words, it's understanding, compassionate. It is the brotherly type of love, and it is also erotic. In other words, it takes us to places that we otherwise would only dream of, otherwise we couldn't handle. Now, last night, we had an opportunity at our Bible study to talk a little bit about this, because we were getting ready for Christmas. We were going through some of the Christmas narratives. And, you know, you get to that point where Mary, Saint Mary, walks into her cousin, her kinsman's house, to Elizabeth's house. And what happens at that point? The baby jumps in her womb. Now think about that for a moment. What is that moment? That is that moment of reality, right? That is the moment that you understand that you have a life inside of you. And mothers will tell you this. I sound like a Crest commercial, right? 4 out of 5 mothers will tell you this. Okay, yes, they will tell you this. Then you know you're pregnant, sure. But the minute the baby jumps, or daddy, you know, the minute he puts a hand on the tummy, and on all of a sudden you feel something kick at you, right? Something jumps. You're hit with this incredible reality that you are carrying life. You're part of that creative process, right? What is the moment in your life when that happens? What is the moment that makes all of your senses awake? That brings you to being, to understand that you are one with God? And I think we don't challenge ourselves in this way, in this respect. You know, we don't challenge ourselves. We talk about loving God, caring about God, but we don't challenge ourselves to really ask, what is that God in my life? What does it take for me to show my love? What does it take for me to receive my love? Is it just the car? Is it the Cadillac for just a little bit of your love? Well, don't discount it, okay? Don't discount it. Certainly, there's a reason why Ashot Arustamyans wrote about it in Armenian, and there's a reason why Eric Burden sang about it in English. And I guarantee you, in every language, this question comes up. How do I get your love? How do I get your attention? What does it take for me to get your love? What do you need to do to get my love? And it's this giving and taking that we need to talk about realistically. I know we talk about all kinds of fun things, you know, about sacrifice and selfless love and agape love and everything. But in a very real terms, we need to get something out of it. I know we're going somewhere that many people will feel uncomfortable. But this came to me last Sunday during the middle of my sermon. It came to me. I don't know where it came from, but I do know that it was real. Because the reaction that I got from the people, the reaction that I got to myself, and I believe it's up on the website already, it's the sermon about the apostles, but do we have a right to demand? You know, I was of the camp, and I think if you go back far enough in the Next Step family of broadcasts, I will always contend that, you know, you don't come to church to get something out of it. You come to put something to contribute to it, to contribute to the collective. But last Sunday, this thought came out to me. You should go with an expectation. You should go with an expectation. Nelson Mandela, we're talking about him right now, about his sacrifice for others. But it wasn't just a sacrifice for the sake of sacrifice. He wanted something out of it. He wanted to find a better system. He wanted to find freedom for people. He wanted an end to apartheid. Okay, so you sacrifice and then you have a goal in mind. Now, what the goal may be is different for different people. And I think the difficulties we have is when that goal becomes self-centered. It becomes stroking the ego. And so at some point we get wound up about it. I'm just finishing up right now Atlas Shrugged and Ayn Rand. You're talking about basically forget about any of these feelings. It's all about capitalism. It's all about the money. Well, one way or another, you're being driven by something. So why not in religion? Why not in terms of religion? And to be honest with you, it didn't click until last Sunday, but it's true. We have to make demands. We have to have demands. That yes, if I'm going to be coming and investing in something, if I'm going to be buying a Cadillac, I want a little bit of your love. If I'm going to be going to church, I should have an expectation from my church. Now, what is that expectation? That's the tough one, right? That's a tough one. That's where we get into some problems over there. But how about this? I should have an expectation that my church will teach me how to be a human. How to take the values of love, of faith, of hope, and transfer them so that I become a better person, and in becoming a better person, affect my community. Affect my surroundings, my world. How can I take that and maximize my potential? Make the shift from potential energy to kinetic energy. Put myself in motion for this world. You know, I'm going to share a little something with you. I've never shared this with anyone. But here, I'll share it with my Next Step audience. Do you know, I start off my sermons every Sunday. And I have a goal list that I refer to. I don't really do too much more than just putting down some notes, because I know that it is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to talk. But nonetheless, I do have a goal list. I have put down a few goals that I want to make sure that I get done with each sermon. Want to hear it? These are my goals. And these are goals I should qualify it, goals within my parish. Okay? Now, the goals change a little bit when I'm doing some traveling or speaking otherwise. But for my parish, number one, engage the listener into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom and everything else will follow. Okay, so let's set that as a goal. Seek God's kingdom. Build the church community within the parish. Give ownership to the people so that they understand that they're not just listening, they're not just sitting by, they're not bystanders, but they are owners. And introduce them and welcome them. And most importantly, I have on here, this is interesting, I have a quote that comes to us from Matthew chapter 3. It says, do not presume to say yourself, we have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise children of Abraham. In other words, don't have this false pride, like saying, hey, look at me, God's in charge, God will do it. Believe in him. Believe in God as you're talking. Believe in God as you're working, as you're doing. How do you give your love? Well, the same way that God gave it to you. Unconditionally, sure. But at the same time, have these expectations to become that better person. Become that person that is maximizing the potential that God has placed within you. Now, I'm going to continue on this next week because, I have to be honest with you. Today, I kind of got messed up seeing that thing about Nelson Mandela. My head went elsewhere. I do want to develop this a little bit more as we're getting closer to the Christmas feast. Of course, we're in the middle of Advent right now, and it's very appropriate for us to really look at ourselves as this develop in this evolutionary process so that when we get to Christmas, that Christmas message has a unique meaning for us again, once again, not just to say, Merry Christmas, but here we are in 2014, a new life, a new beginning, and what that Christmas means for me. With that in mind, let me let Susie do her bit, and I will be back in a minute to put it all together.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, and a really an important announcement, especially, you know, we are in December, end of the year. Any donations that you make to In His Shoes, to Epostle, completely, totally tax deductible. They are taken at the St. Peter Armenian Church, a nonprofit organization, a church under the Western Diocese. Hey, how do you like that? All kinds of legit ways to give and feel good about it too. But I want to reiterate what Susie says. It's very important to support this ministry that is very unique, that brings the blessing to you. And also at the same time, you know, it's important for us to talk about some of the things that you don't hear everywhere else. And I'm going to admit it, it's cathartic to me. Sure, I get up here and I get to talk, I get to unload. It is fantastic. I feel great after Thursdays, most of the time. It's catharsis, but at the same time, it's my way of saying that, yeah, I have an expectation too. You know, buy me a Cadillac if you want my love. It's not that Cadillac, but, you know, do a support. And I've always said this, and I completely mean this. The email that you send me, the small little notes that you send me, go a long, long way. To know that I'm in your prayer, to know that this ministry is in your prayer, to know that Susie is in your prayer, Anish is in your prayer, Linda's in your prayer, that this whole epostle that we're just starting off, you know, it's only been 5 years, and we're doing okay, you know. Yeah, I wish it could be 50 million people, but we're doing okay. But it begins because we've trusted that God is leading us, and that trust is fortified with your prayers to keep us in your prayers and keep this ministry in your prayers. That being said, how about if we return next week and continue on this topic? You know, there's so much to be said about giving, about receiving, about taking. These are all dynamics of the human form, of human life. And we shouldn't hide behind these noble ideas that, okay, well, I'm going to give, I'm going to sacrifice. I mean, even a Mother Teresa, who is known for her giving, her love and her compassion, in her prayer, she had deep expectations that God would fill her up. She had her doubts, sure. And you read some of the Mother Teresa's writings, and you see what an incredible woman she is. How did she do those incredible things? Well, if not but by the grace of God. What does that mean? What does it mean that Christ is going to be in our midst, that Christ is being born? What does the nativity mean? We'll explore all those. How about next week, okay? Let me get out of this funk for right now. Hey, listen, it was a pleasure being with you today. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed putting this together. For the wonderful team that did this work today, I want to invite you to join us on our website, inissues.org, as well as epostle.net. Also, join us on Facebook. Hey, follow me on Twitter. Follow In His Shoes, all kinds of places that you can connect. And don't forget, St. Peter Armenian Church in Glendale. If you ever happen to be there, our Archbishop's going to be there this Sunday for an ordination service. All kinds of fun things happening. Just come and plug in. For the wonderful team, for Susie, our producer, Valhera Webman, this is Father Boskin. For Ken, our engineer, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Boskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have The Next Step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
We'd like to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.